Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah is the Khaliqi Haqiqi, He is the true creator of the universe, from the atom, the nucleus in the atom, the protons, the neutrons, to the clouds in the skies, the heavens, the structures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has Himself created everything. And Allah ta'ala says, this dunya, this world, isn't created by some manufacturer other than Allah. For example, we make a house or a car with our hands and say that we have created this. No. Allah ta'ala Himself is the creator of the universe. Or some other manufacturer of a house, and he makes homes, builds homes, and there are deficiencies within the homes, or other items that we use in the world. No, Allah ta'ala is the creator. Allah says, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. That there, whatever you see around you, what Allah ta'ala has created in the universe, nothing from the creation of the world is without an objective. Our aql, intellect and understanding and awareness may not reach to that understanding. There are many things in the world that 100 years ago we weren't aware of. And we are now aware of them and we can see them. Or there are things now that were used 100 years ago may not be beneficial. But Allah Ta'ala knows. There will be many herbs and spices and plants, etc. that are in the world that maybe we think they are not of use to us. They may be in the mountains, in the wilderness, in the deserts, in the seas, in the oceans. But Allah Ta'ala's hikmah, wisdom is greater than us. Allah Ta'ala's creation is such that there's nothing deficient, there's nothing less, there's nothing more. You can't say that, oh, there's too much of this or too much of that or less of this. Allah Ta'ala has created extra here or not. No, we can't say this. A person, if he looks around, he sees that Allah Ta'ala created the cycles in the world. The moon cycle, the lunar cycle, the cycle of the sun, the cycle of other items in the world, natural resources. Whatever we needed, Allah Ta'ala created for us. The resources we require in the world, Allah Ta'ala created in the world. We have the winds. We have fresh air. Allah Ta'ala created wind, fresh air, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon dioxide, etc. The amount we need. Water, the amount we need, Allah Ta'ala created for our use and for our benefit. Nothing more, nothing less. Despite our thoughts and opinions. And there's another creation that Allah Ta'ala has, a form of creation that Allah Ta'ala has made for us. The time. If we look at the rotation of the earth, we see the rotation of the earth, the solar system, the planets, the sun, we see gravity, and all of these scientific attachments and combinations. And this is also for our benefit. Allah Ta'ala created time because we need time. We are desperately in need of time. And all our life revolves upon time, whether it's this world or the hereafter. For both, time is beneficial. Those people who don't have an awareness or knowledge of the akhirah, the hereafter, they don't have the knowledge or awareness, understanding, then they have, according to that understanding, paid attention to the time. And due to the time they think they have, they seek benefit and promotion and enhancement in the world. Yes, so they don't waste their time because they want to benefit maximum from the time in this world. But the quality of the believer, the mu'min, is such that alhamdulillah, if the mu'min understands time, the benefit of time, he can earn both in this world and in the hereafter. In reality, everything that was created by Allah was created for the people of Iman, for the mu'min. But sad, sad state of affairs is that we do not pay attention to these points. When we look at time and the use of time, we ascribe it or attach it or we utilize it for the sake of the benefit of just living in this world. The people who just focused on this world and spent time for attaining this world, they made buildings or palaces or structures or wealth just for the sake of utilizing it in this world. But from my experiences in history, we see that people construct high-rise buildings, big buildings, structures, strengthen structures, but after a time they crack, they crumble to dust. People make with their own hands and they drop them with their own hands. They make them with their own hands, they destroy them with their own hands to reconstruct something a bit better or stronger or longer lasting. So if we make with our own hands and say that this cannot stay forever and we demolish it ourselves, then think about this for a while. But the quality of the mu'min, he thinks beyond the death. If he makes the building in the akhirah for the hereafter, which will stay forever, then even in this world he will get benefit. On the night of Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to the heavens, a great hadith, long hadith, famous hadith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wandered around Jannah, was presented to paradise. He saw hellfire, the punishments. He experienced things. He saw things. He traveled. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Through which we have received many guidances. And today we are sitting in the masjid. This is a gift of the night of Mi'raj that we were given as a gift to this ummah of the Muslims. 5 times salah in the day. So in this journey of the Mi'raj, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw and experienced that there were some angels who were making palaces, mansions, big structures in Jannah and Paradise. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped and saw for a longer period of time that these angels are constructing residences, big lavish residences. Whose palace is this? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this, was surprised and kept on looking, but the angels continued on their task. They continued to construct. Because it's apparent that for construction you need the bricks, you need the cement, the mortar, the bricks. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the bricks of that palace of paradise. One brick was of gold and one brick was of silver for that palace. Subhanallah. And the cement which was cementing the bricks together, joining them together, was made out of musk and amber. Aha. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that how much beautiful fragrance there must be in and around these palaces, and how carefully the angels are constructing these palaces. Then the angel stopped and sat down to the side, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a bit surprised that suddenly they were making the palace and then they sat down to the side. Have they finished? They're not making any more. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the angels that just now I saw you were on your task, you were working away and building and constructing these palaces in paradise. Why have you now sat to the side and stopped constructing? The angels replied that we are workers. We are just workers and we do the laboring. And when we get the duty, the task to do the laboring and to construct, we do it. And if we don't have anything to do, then we sit down to the side. So when the work came, we started to construct and we are workers. And when we don't have any work to do, we stop and sit to the side. Rasulullah sat down and said, you're working? You're laboring? What kind of work? What task are you given? They said, look, this palace, this is not for here. We are making the palaces for the people who are in the dunya, in the world. There's no residence yet in paradise. So who gives you the task, the duty list? They say that from the dunya we get the task list, we carry on working, and we start constructing the palace and the mansion. So who sends you the task list, the duty list or the project list? The angel said that upon the task which we use to construct the homes is the dhikr of Allah. That is the project list. That is the plan, the project plan upon which the mansions are built, the palaces are built. We read in the Quran about the gardens of Jannah, the homes in paradise, my brothers. So we learn here, me and you, we sit here and we do this. Yes, so if we, you know, the rivers that will flow under the palaces of honey, of milk, and the decoration of the palaces and the houses and the mansions, and we read this in the Quran. What is this? The angel said that if the order comes from the world, the task list, the duty list, the material list is given to us, we will make the palaces. So what is the task list, the duty list, the material list, the project list, the action list? It is sent by the believers in the world. When they do dhikr of Allah, they remember Allah, they're sending instructions to the angels in paradise to construct the homes. My brothers, we are sitting in the world, and we think we're living in this world and we're just staying in this world. We will live in this world. We are residing in this world, but this time that has been given to us, this time hasn't been given to us that, oh, make the palace in this world or run after the dunya. These things will finish. They're temporary. They'll be destroyed. They will crumble to dust. The time that's been given to you, the number of breaths that has been ascribed to you, for this reason, so you can construct in the hereafter at the same time. Use the time in this world, encapsulate the time in this world to construct for thereafter. Big message for us. Big message for us about time. Time you can use in parallel for the benefit of two things. Okay, you're using the time for the benefit of the world and you're heightening your status in the world. But this is not what the time was given to us for. Allah Ta'ala says that this time, if you send it ahead, if you send the action list ahead to the angels for your benefit, if you don't utilize the time in this world for the benefit of the hereafter, then what will you get in the hereafter? Nothing. You'll be empty-handed. You will reach there, definitely. Everyone reaches. We see every day someone's passing away and going. Somebody's going. Next person's going. So how foolish we are, how stupid we are. Allah Ta'ala has given us life, breath, health, energy. We can utilize these things to get increased wealth in the hereafter, but we are wasting these resources and not earning nothing in the hereafter. Amazing. Amazing. So time, can we imprison time? Can we grab hold of time, grip it, and keep control of it? We cannot. Doesn't matter how much you try, you cannot imprison time. We've tried, we've got watches on our wrists, we've got clocks on our walls, and we think that we are blocking the time. Time here, time, then we think we're blocking the time. Time is not being blocked, it's just moving along at its own pace. You think you can grab hold of time in your wrist, in your palm, and put it into your pocket? No, the seconds are ticking away. Tick, tick. Tick. You're sitting here, time for Isha will come. You cannot stop it. You cannot control it. You cannot freeze it. Ah, there's no power of the world that can control time, stop it. But there's one thing that can. There's one thing that can control time and get it into your grip, into your fist. And what is that? The pious deeds of the mu'min, of the believer. When a believer does amalu salihat, when he does good worthy deeds, he is grabbing hold of and controlling the time. For example, you have come to this masjid, you are sitting down in this masjid. Some people came, they prayed salah, alhamdulillah. Some people didn't come, some people came and they left and went to their work and their jobs. Allah Ta'ala had His mercy upon you and me. He sat us down. Now we're sitting in the masjid. At this moment of time, we have grabbed hold of time. We've come into the masjid, we've entered into the masjid, we've recited the dua. We done the ittikaf niyyah, the niyyah for staying in the house of Allah. Then we start the dhikr of Allah. You're listening to the words about Allah, about His deen. All of this is the pious and worthy deeds. And due to you doing these good deeds, you have controlled your time and you've made the angels busy in thereafter. As much as the time as you spend in this house of Allah and do the dhikr of Allah and speak about Allah and His deen, then you've grabbed hold of the time, you've controlled time, and you are sending instructions to the paradise, to the angels, the laborers there. Allah Ta'ala has kept the system. The straight away the angels are now working, they're constructing, they're making. Every man who's sitting here, he has busied his angels in paradise who are constructing for him, making for him, preparing for him. And as long as you sit here, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Who has sat us down here? Allah sat us down here. Who sent us here? Allah sent us here. How grateful we should be to Allah. Allah has loved us. Allah Ta'ala preferred us. Allah Ta'ala had mercy on us. Allah Ta'ala had His blessings sent to us. All of our sins, despite all of our wrong deeds and our illnesses and our problems and issues, even despite all of this, Allah Ta'ala brought us to His home, sat us down. Many other people couldn't reach it. Many other people can reach it. So amalu salihat, the good deeds, the worthy deeds that we've decided to do, we have sat, we've controlled time. Then we stand up to pray salah, we've controlled time. We recite Quran, we are controlling and grabbing all of time. We do ta'aleem, we're grabbing and controlling time. Whichever good deed you are immersed in and you are busy with, then consider you've got time in your hand. You're doing tasbih, you've got time in your hand. You're controlling your time. You're managing your time. So all amalu salihat, pious deeds, good deeds, control and grab the time, and you are utilizing the time. It is not worthy of a believer to waste the time. But time is wasted. Time does go away from our grip. It does go out of our control. We pray salah and then we leave the house of Allah. So we then, when we leave salah, we lose control of time. You recite Quran, you stop reciting Quran, you lose control of your time. So every deed has its apportioned time. When you leave it, go away from the good deeds, then you will lose control and grip of your time. But there's one deed that will totally, perfectly, completely, as long as you stay alive, which will grab hold of and control the time of life. When your every breath controls time, there's one amal, one deed Allah Ta'ala has bestowed to man, to the believer, through which that insan, that believer, totally every second, every breath of his life he is controlling. Because every single breath, every single second will be accounted for in the hereafter, and every second can give you in repayment a treasure of the hereafter in paradise. One moment, one split second holds a treasure of paradise. We are wasting the seconds as if it's free of time, well, free of charge, and that is not important. We will realize, brothers, when the ghusl will be performed on our body, when the cloth will be wrapped in our body, will be lowered into the grave, we'll realize the time has gone. It has disappeared. So to control the time, to grab the time, Allah Ta'ala has made such an amal for the mu'min, for the believer, that he's grabbed and controlled his time always. And that amal, that deed about which Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, Oh my companions, shall I not tell you of a deed that if you perform that deed, it is the best from all of your deeds. It is the best from all of your deeds. And it will take you closest to your Lord. And it is the purest in the eyes of your Lord, this deed. And it will elevate your status to the highest grade, to the highest form. Your status, your rank, it will elevate it to the highest grade. Subhanallah. And you, Doesn't matter how much sadaqah you do, how much charity you give in silver and gold, it is worthy more than that. If you fight against your desires, even then it is greater than that. Even if you go against the people or against you to the extremes, it is greater than that. And that blessed companion said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is this deed? And Rasulullah sallam replied, the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Why is this deed so great and high? Because this is that amal, this deed of dhikr of Allah controls time. It grabs hold of time, it freezes time and brings time into your control, into your preference, into your utilization. It will construct your paradise, your home in paradise, your residence in paradise, your palaces in paradise. And this deed is so easy to perform. And about this there are glad tidings, there are virtues, there are blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the dhikr of Allah in the Quran, Allah ta'ala has mentioned so much dhikr, 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 remembrance, remembrance, remembrance. Why? Because it is such a great deed. The whole of paradise, it will be decorated with this deed of dhikr of Allah. And so easy, Allah ta'ala is so easy, so simple is this deed. Because Allah ta'ala says, I do not send the burden on anybody. And we become blind, we cannot see anything. We do not recognize and appreciate the dhikr of Allah. Such a great deed Allah ta'ala has given to us that we can do all the time. There's no restrictions upon when we can do dhikr of Allah. Anytime you can do it. Small kalimat, subhanallah, smaller than that, say, subhanallah wa bihamdi. Make it small. Say it subhanallah. Make it smaller. If you want to do less, say Allah then. Just Allah. The more you reduce, the more power and intensity comes in that kalima recitation. Even if you just come to the recitation, Allah. The word of Allah is so great and powerful, it can shake the whole universe. It can correct the whole universe. Allah is so merciful to us, so favorable to us. When a believer says, Allah, I just said it, didn't I? I said it. If a person sitting next to me and we prayed Salah together, we practiced together, same amount of life. I said Allah, he didn't. Both of us pass away. Both depart from this world. Those two who just departed, the difference in their status and rank and level is difference between the heavens and the earth. They say, Allah, we lived together, we were friends, we lived the same amount of time, we did Hajj together, recited Quran together, we fasted together, itikaf together. They are friends like this, aren't they? And in the week we recited to each other and spoke to each other. What is this? That and so much difference between him and me? Heaven and earth difference? Allah says, yes. Because when you were sitting together, he from his mouth once said Allah, and you didn't recite that Allah. And this reward difference between the heavens and the earth is due to that one difference of recitation of the word of Allah. Allahu Akbar. So, my friends, as long as a person, you know, we say Qiyamah, 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 Qiyamah will not come. Allah says Qiyamah will not come until there is one person remaining in the world who is saying the name of Allah, he will prevent the Qiyamah to come. What a powerful, great deed Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Given us a shortcut deed, simple deed, summarized deed, easy to practice deed. You say from your tongue, Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah says, no, I want to make it even simpler for you. Look, if we now don't perform this action that I'm going to even present in a simpler form, how sad. Don't we want paradise? We say we want paradise, we want luxuries, we want comforts, we want everything. But brothers, we have to give something to attain something, isn't it? You have to make some effort, isn't it? Look, the angels are sitting to the side. They're sitting on the side, waiting for the orders from the earth to come so they can resume the construction of our palaces. So how sad if morning till evening we see that today, did I keep my angels in paradise busy with the construction of my home? What did I do? What decoration will they put into my home? Did they construct the walls of my home with the gold and silver bricks, with the cement of musk and amber? Did they decorate my homes with the fragrances? 30 years, 40 years, 60 years, 50 years, 70 years I've lived in this world. In those 70 years that I lived in the world, how did I utilize my time? 60 years old I'm. Okay, let's cut it in half now. Let's say 30. 30 years have gone in sleeping. Because they have to, isn't it? Half the time goes in sleeping. In the 60 years a person lives. So take 15 out in young life, playing, joking, running around. So 15 years have gone in young life. 30 years of the 60 go in sleeping. That leaves what, 10, 15? The 15 years, 10 years running around for the wife, the children, shopping, dunya, glitter and glow and show. And 5 years are left. Out of that 5 years, how much do we pay attention to hereafter? Maybe not much. That just leaves the moments of death. Isn't it? And what would we do at the moment of death? How fast that life is passing. Brothers, grab hold of the time. Imprison this time. Imprison the time. Put it into jail. How great I say, Allah, just give me the tawfiq just to say Allah, Allah. If you say Allah, then when you sleep, the time is gone again. Half the night is gone, or the whole night goes and you miss it. But Allah, we want Jannah. Allah says, I'll make it easier for you than to get Jannah. I'll make it simple. Allah says, forget saying Allah from the tongue. Leave the tasbihs out of your hand. Forget counting on your fingers. Concentrate on your heart. Every heartbeat, you recite the name of Allah. Train the heart to say Allah, 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 Allah. And that's it. The motor will run and the deeds will continue and the rewards will flow into your hereafter. You know, like a puppet is trained when a person has a puppet. Or for example, he has a parrot. Let's take a parrot, for example. And he brings the parrot home, he puts it in the cage. What does the parrot know? He's sitting there waiting. I'll have seen this, you'll have seen this. Then the child starts to work hard with the parrot. He teaches the parrot its name. Or a kalima. Or he says, roti, roti, bread, bread. Or the name of the parrot. So when he starts teaching the parrot, what does the parrot do? He starts saying, roti, roti, roti. Or when you say to it, whatever you want to teach it. And he will not say nothing else because it's saying what he's been taught. Allah Ta'ala has made our qalb. He's made our heart. We think the heart is for pumping blood, oxygen around the body. And there's arteries in there, and there's the flesh within there, and take the tablets to thin the blood so that we don't have a heart attack. This is not the objective, Allah says. Allah says, your body has a physical heart, and the heart has an objective, a function, and it's not just to pump the blood around the world. Allah says, take the parrot, and the parrot, you put it in the cage. Allah says, you train it, and you teach it, and it recites. Even then, Allah says, it is being, Allah says, if you look, the body, you have all of the limbs, and inside the depths of the body is the heart, and Allah Ta'ala has imprisoned that heart in the body, just like the parrot is within the depths of the cage. Allah says, your heart is in your cage of your body. Whatever you teach your heart, it will say, and it will keep on saying this until it goes to the qabr, to the grave. People understood, this is good. So the greatest deed is what? To say Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah, we have understood that from the previous 20 minutes or so. So people who are understanding, who had value, who were intellectual, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullahi Alayhi, when he did dua, Allah, give me such a dhikr. Allah, give me such a recitation. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullahi, who was the one of the elders, the leaders of the chain of Naqshbandi sheikhs. And this silsala, this chain of tasawwuf continued from the dhikr of the heart. And there are other chains and silsalas in which you have to do mujahida and make effort. You have to do tasbih this much in the morning, recite this, in the evening recite this, from the mouth, etc. But I consider that the time to come is so busy. So Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband Rahmatullahi said, Allah, give me such a shortcut ibadah that the creation after me can benefit. So for some days and some nights, he closed his hujra, his room. Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband was in such the prostration, crying, pleading, begging Allah Ta'ala for the ummah, Allah, give us such a gift, give us such a dhikr, Allah, give us such a recitation. Whichever makhluk and creation comes after us, they are busy in the world, but at the same time they're earning their paradise and they're going to paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after days, after weeks, Allah gave ilham, vision, inspiration to Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, that, oh my wali, I give you such a dhikr, which is so simple to do, but very beneficial in terms of wealth. And what is that dhikr? That your heart, in that heart, teach it the name Allah. When this heart learns the name Allah, when you train it to say Allah, when the heart learns to say Allah, 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 then it starts to speak, and it definitely speaks outwardly, and the people can hear it from the ears, that Allah Ta'ala made the heart for this. That when the parrot starts to speak, it's closed, imprisoned in the cage, it cannot fly, and it will only fly when it dies. So when we're sleeping, or standing, or sitting, or lying down, or working, the heart will continue to say Allah, 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 Allah. This is that dhikr that we perform. But brothers, one is to teach the parrot and then he learns. So you have to teach the heart so it will recite Allah Ta'ala's name. Not that I come once a week to you and you come once a week and we do dhikr, then it's free time, holiday for another week. No, then you learn for 1 hour and then you go home and you forget. This is wrong. You have to train the heart, the parrot. If your heart is corrected, trained, aligned, corrected on the cycle of life, then not 1 second of your life will be wasted, during which your palace is not being constructed. Rasulullah saw this in paradise. This is haqq, reality. Not 1 second will be wasted. What great things Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Brothers, learn this dhikr. Learn this dhikr. When you go to the wali of Allah, a Naqshbandi Shaykh, then say that this parrot, teach it how to recite the name of Allah. How to recite. And then work hard, just like Allah Ta'ala has taught us. Just like we have been guided. Fine, Allah has given us tawfiq. We're hafiz of Al-Quran. We do Umrah and Hajj. And we do other things, we learn, we're students, etc. But time is not to be wasted. Don't think you're free after that. And the only time you can utilize every second of your life is when you do the dhikr of the heart. This is called qalbi dhikr. The dhikr of the heart. And that's what is the title. You don't move the tongue, you train the heart. And you perform dhikr inside your heart. Very simple method. Learn this dhikr from a wali of Allah, from a true teacher, a guide. He will teach you to close your eyes. After closing your eyes, you concentrate on the heart, you focus on the heart, you pay attention to the heart, and you start doing dhikr of Allah, 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 Allah. This is called maraqabah, dhikr khafi, silent dhikr. In English, you could say meditation, although it's not an accurate definition, but it eliminates the sins. When you do dhikr of the heart, the sins are eliminated, the love of Allah is increased in the heart, you get closer to Allah. Every second you do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, you get closer to Allah, and the rewards are so numerous, 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 you cannot imagine. Millions of rewards when you do dhikr of the heart. You cannot reach to that station. When you do dhikr from the tongue, you cannot reach to those heights of reward and thawab and nearness to Allah that you can reach to when you do dhikr in the heart. So the people who are sleeping, they're wasting time. You have to push them. The people who are negligent and lazy, Allahu Akbar, when you pray salah, when there's 2 minutes left to salah, sit down, do maraqabah of the heart. So much you get easy, used to it, that you do dhikr of the heart. You're easy, you're doing shopping, you're walking to the shops, you're speaking to people. Carry on doing what you're doing in the dunya. Alhamdulillah, you're earning the dunya at the same time, and alongside that, you're doing the dhikr of Allah. So should we do this or not? Tell me. This is the practice. Shouldn't be after a week. Rather, every moment we should practice, focus on the heart. And those people have not learned this dhikr. Today, if you're ashamed, tomorrow you will cry. Allah has given a big opportunity. Now, when the majlis finishes, come, say, I want to learn this dhikr. Please teach me. Learn this dhikr, start practicing it, and see the great results. Sins will be eliminated. You will be elevated. Your salah will be elevated. Tabligh will be elevated. Everything in your house, in the house, there will be nur and light. But on that land, when you sit on that earth, in that position, and you do dhikr, and to the 7 layers of the earth, the nur reaches to that point. Upon that piece of earth, you sit down and recite the name of Allah. To the 7 layers of the earth, to the core of the earth, that crust, that piece of earth that you're sitting on, becomes illuminated with the light. And the elders and the pious predecessors have stated, the person who recites the name of Allah and does the dhikr of Allah, to his 7 generations of his offspring, the effect and improvement and the beautiful effect of that dhikr is felt to the 7 generations after him. You will see this. Who is this person? Oh, he's from his father, his grandfather, his grandfather, his grandfather. You know this sheikh, his father was this sheikh, whose father was this sheikh, and his grandson is this person. They recognize the person from the lineage because the grandfather made effort. And to the 7th generation, the effect is felt and heard. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq, the will and the ability. Ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.